B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy, happy Wednesday. July the 1st. We're in a new month. X out June. We're halfway through this rotten year of 2020. 6 more months to go. Maybe we'll get some sports to get us through it. But we're close, and we're getting close to getting rid of 2020, the worst year of mankind. Happy day. Happy July 1st as we sit here on a beautiful summer morning. And I want to get to a couple things. One, yesterday's show. Let me just start off with that. Because yesterday's show was enlightening. Sometimes it's really interesting what comes about. And we did our playback yesterday, and our playback was one of the most historic games, really, in the history of sports, one of the greatest upsets ever. When we talk about upsets, it begins with USA hockey and 1980 and beating the Russians, and then there are all these great, amazing upsets, right? And in college basketball, you had the NC State Phi Slamma Jamma, but you had Villanova. And Villanova, Georgetown, at that point, was one of the biggest upsets ever. Mighty Georgetown against the Little Villanova school. Now, Little Villanova is not Little Villanova. Little Villanova is a college basketball powerhouse with an incredible coach in Jay Wright. But back then, it was an amazing upset. And so we did it for the playback because we're doing college week. And Andrew, while he is doing the playback, is like, not, he's respectful. Let me just say before I even bring him on, Andrew is the most respectful young guy I've ever encountered. He is aces, all right? I mean, when I say aces, on, off the air, just aces. He's the best. And I understand where he was coming from because he's like, shot clock. What is that? There's no shot clock? And they're playing the weave, and they're doing their chest passes and bounce passes like you did in basketball camp when you were 7 years old, and you're doing, you know, jab step, right? Weave, all those things that we all did. Anybody loves basketball knows, right? And that's how Villanova played, like uber fundamentals. And Tyrone came in, and he had the same exact reaction as Andrew. Like, what is that? That it might have been played in 1925, let alone 1985. And it spurred this conversation about the new school, old school again, particularly when it comes to basketball. And for some reason, basketball really, really, like, lends itself to that. And I understand where they were coming from because a few weeks back, I had an epiphany. And it was also during the playback. And it was the Buddy Ryan Eagles. And they were playing the Raiders. And the coaching was completely bad. Like, the strategy was awful. And all I kept thinking about is, you know, growing up, did I mischaracterize what it was? Like, was it really not that good? Like, everybody's childhood represents the best of certain things, right? A lot of people like movies. I like now, but a lot of people like their movies growing up. A lot of people like the music growing up. A lot of people like sports growing up. And I'm more of a now guy than a yesteryear guy, but I have nostalgia. That's part of my kind of DNA. And I think that's a Philadelphia thing. I think if you're like Andrew, who's 25, you'll have nostalgia your whole life. Like, nostalgia is more of a trait that is a Philadelphia thing. I think it's because we're an old city that we kind of, for at least for this country, that we cleave to nostalgia sometimes. And so I'm probably more nostalgic than I am pro back in the day. Like, I'm not the back in the day dude who goes, get off my lawn, it sucks now. Because I think 90% of life is better now. I do. I think the from the creature comforts, the technology aspect of it, to the athletic endeavors, it's better now. Now, the quality of the game, right? And so we were talking about this. I had this epiphany that everything back then sucked. And in yesterday's show, I talked to a lot of my elders. And they were like, what are you doing? How could you let that happen? And I started, I'm like, well, let what happen? Well, how could you denigrate what happened back then? And I'm like, I'm not denigrating it. 80s basketball, I love 80s NBA basketball. Julius Erving will always be my favorite athlete. And Andrew Toney and Charles Barkley, like those guys, along with Jordan, will always be my favorite players of all time when it comes to the NBA. And I love a lot of guys now, but those guys will always be my favorite. And so now I'm in a pretzel. I'm getting pulled by today and the Andrews, and I'm getting pulled by the elders and the past. And, you know, I think both, there's some great points with both. Not to be a cop out here, but both of them provide great points. Like, I hate all the threes today. I think it takes away the beauty of the game. The game, which is about movement and athleticism and movement with a basketball, five men, I think is a beautiful thing. And I think some of the movement today is stifled. Some of the strategies today, and while I can make the argument that the players are better today, at least the athleticism is better today, much better, the strategies involving the big man, involving the mid-range game. We had a guy call up yesterday who I love, Black Gritty, who talked about the mid-range game, and Q talked about the mid-range game. And, you know, missing that element of it. And while I understand the numbers, like, why would you take a 21-footer when you can take a 23.5-footer and get an extra point, right? Like, that all makes sense to you. But part of the mid-range game, which is the 12-foot, 13-foot, that kind of game, which, interestingly, the Sixers are built to do, way more built to do that than shoot threes. Lends for a more beautiful game. It's not to eradicate threes, because I think threes should be a big part of the game. Just not shooting 30, 40, sometimes more than that in a game. I think that's pick and pop is old. Like, that gets old quick. That's not fun. I love going down low, punching it down low to Embiid and trying to draw a foul and trying to get teams in foul trouble. It's why I thought the Sixers being built so differently, they would have more success. But they didn't play that style. The fact that they're built differently than everybody else, they're the most unique team in the league. And instead of playing to that, now again, I don't know if it's going to work, but instead of playing to that fact that they're the most different, unique team in the league, they try to do the other thing, which is shoot threes. And they're not built like that. So to me, it's why I always keep going to bully ball and built for 16. And that's what I expect come the restart. But the bigger picture is, where are we when it comes to the evolution of sports? And what's good and what's not good and what's bad and what's not bad and what's strategically pleasing and what's not? And I'm sitting here, I'm going, I'm enjoying the argument, right? I kind of, like, almost yesterday kind of pulled back and was able to watch it like a fan watching the sparring between some of the elder callers and the Andrews and Tyrone's. And Tyrone's not that young, though. Tyrone's more mid-range in that sense. But he skews more Chunas. So I really thought it was a lot of fun kind of going back and forth and watching this tennis match of who's right, what aspects of what I'm saying is right, and where do we stand when it comes to the evolution of the sport. And really, it's all of them. It's baseball, and it's football, and it's hockey, and of course, basketball is kind of what we're talking about. Good morning, Chunas.
How you doing? Good morning, Anthony.
So, did you get any feedback when you got when you went home?
I got.
But did your father call no, and curse you about Larry Bird?
No,
like, Larry
he did not.
Bird is a great example of this whole thing.
Yes, he is.
Because I made a statement. I go, well, listen, you get a couple of really good defensive guys. Like Ben Simmons could shut down Larry Bird, right? And all of a sudden, could you imagine? If I said that, which I was thinking, so therefore I just said it, people will go crazy.
Well, I told
Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
What? But Ben Simmons is an elite defender who's 7 feet, almost 6'11", with a wingspan like a pterodactyl,
and is much faster and much more athletic,
and is stronger.
Yes,
he's physically stronger, quicker, and longer than Larry Bird. So as crafty as Larry Bird is, do you think Larry Bird would dominate Ben Simmons? On the just go offense defense. Forget about Ben doesn't shoot. I don't hear. I think Ben Simmons shuts him down.
And he locks him down. And it's funny that you bring up the craft and how crafty he was. Tyrone and I talked about this actually after the show yesterday. He and I were talking. Yeah, Larry Bird was a very intelligent basketball player. Or does that mean Ben Simmons is not smart? Does that mean Ben Simmons wouldn't be able to try to figure out a thing or two? Like
right.
Larry Bird's go-to moves?
Right.
Right, like, let's face it. Players study other players. Larry Bird, yeah, he might have been the craftiest player in the 80s, and everyone could, oh, he was a tactician. Remember we had the caller, the coach from Newman Gretti, he called in, Pat, and he was like, yeah, you know, he was a tactician. Well, you don't think Ben Simmons could have figured out a couple of his moves?
Right.
I don't know. How are we supposed to judge that? I think he could, because I think Ben Simmons is a terrific defensive player. But I told you the story. I was down the shore. This was when last season, and we were watching a Sixers game, and a bunch of my parents' friends were there, right? So it was the 50 and 60-year-old crowd, and we were watching Sixers, and I forget who they were playing, and they were complaining about Joel Embiid stepping outside and shooting threes, right? They hated all the new wave approach of basketball, and I said out loud, yeah, Larry Bird couldn't survive in this league. My God, you would think that I insulted their firstborn. They all got so angry. One of my dad's friends, Mr. Chilla, smacked my dad in the back of the head and said, this is what you raised? And they're all Sixers fans, right? They're all diehard Sixers fans. But they go, how dare you disrespect Larry Bird? I'm like, what?
Is that not priceless?
It's totally priceless. They were legitimately upset. And then, well, I said Steph Curry's
what
a better
it is
shooter.
For those guys, the those elders, is that they, if you denigrate Bird in that time, it denigrates that's their prime. Like I was a kid,
yes,
during that. That's their prime. And they go, what are you're saying that my prime was, you know,
my best player?
Inferior? Magic was the best player, then
right,
Jordan
okay,
was the best player. But Bird was, you know, obviously a killer and a great player for his time. Now, again, you know, all things, anytime we argue, anytime generations come up and we argue generations, you also have to give the other generation, the past generation, the wherewithal that the athlete would be a better athlete.
Correct.
So Larry Bird would be a better conditioned athlete today.
Correct.
Right? Like, the nutrition,
sports science, all
right,
stuff,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, weight, where all that stuff. It would be different. He would be a much more athletic player because of that, right?
Yes,
because nutrition and sports science and that sort of thing. So you got to give him. You got to extrapolate that piece of it. But the ultimate point is: does Ben Simmons shut him down?
I see,
and
yes.
I know that's heresy.
Oh, of course,
to a lot of people, but if I tell you that one guy is stronger, longer, quicker, faster.
Oh, but he's not a smart ant. That's what you'll get.
But he's already a smart. He's got it.
He's already defensive player of the year.
Exactly.
Could be.
Exactly. Like, he's got an acumen. It's not like he's a basketball dope. Like, I don't understand. There's certain NBA players that are all athletic in size and no brains.
Correct.
There's bubbleheads. Ben's not a bubblehead.
Nope.
He knows the game. So it's a great conversation, and my head's in a pretzel today. I want to continue. It happened in the 1 o'clock hour yesterday, late in the 1 o'clock hour, when we got into this discussion, and I really would love to continue this whole thing. I think it's fascinating. I do. I think it's completely a great conversation to have.
Yeah, and it's crazy because basketball is really the only sport where I say, well, how do I say this? Basketball, I believe, is loads better right now. Like, I really do. I think the sport is just so much better. And I've watched these playbacks. Now, I didn't live in the 80s, right? I didn't live late 70s, but I've been watching these playbacks, a lot of them. And I go, wow, I really enjoy today's basketball much more than what I, you know, what I'm watching right now. But I'm weird because baseball, I believe, was better back in the 90s and early 2000s. I like small ball. I like bunting. I like sacrifice flies. I like steals, which you don't get anymore. So, it's weird that I am so new wave, new age basketball, but I'm old school baseball. When it comes to football, Ant, I love watching Patrick Mahomes play. But there's something, I think it's in my blood, I'm a defensive football guy. I'm a third down.
That's your DNA. That's in your Philadelphia DNA.
I want you snarling, you know, whether you're the linebacker, right. Brian Dawkins up on the line.
Again, I was about to say, you were influenced by Dawkins.
Yes.
And by the way, during your formative years, let's be real here. Donovan was terrific. I'm not going to disparage Donovan at all, but that team was led by its defense.
Yep.
And look, 2004, their offense with T.O. was absurd.
Outrageous, yeah.
But 2000, they go to the playoffs. 01, championship game. 02, championship game. 03, championship game. That was because of Jim Johnson and that defense.
Yeah,
Douglas.
Defensive front.
Right.
The corners.
Jeremiah,
the
Trotter, yeah. And Dawkins, and Vincent, and Taylor.
Jim Johnson bringing pressure
and Lito
constantly.
And Sheldon. Right.
It's 30-0. He's like, you know what? We're bringing 8.
I mean, that's why you're, you know, a lot defensive, you have the defensive soul. That said, I know I got in trouble. I was arguing with people about this, but I think Patrick Mahomes I have him as a top 5 quarterback that I've ever seen. Now, it goes without saying, there's got to be a longevity factor. You know, if I'm going to compare greats with the Marinos of the world and the Favres and all that, He's got to do it over a long haul. But like I look at Rodgers and people go, wow, like what's he won? Aaron Rodgers to me has first of all, the quarterback position, the evolution of it, it's more important than it's ever been, right? It's
yep.
ever been. And the quarterback play that we've seen out of Rodgers, and look, I'm not saying he's great every game and he hasn't, you know, had some flubs and, you know, again, he won the Super Bowl his first year and hasn't won since. But it defies logic to me if you're going to tell me he's not at top 5 you've ever seen because of the throws he makes, right? The fact that he can move and the fact that he can make every throw. That laser that's 6 inches off the ground.
Yep.
At the sidelines.
Against the Cowboys, yeah.
Right.
I still remember 2 minutes.
Right. Or the Hail Mary that somehow is put perfectly. And if you see those, he hit 2 Hail Marys in one season a few years back. And if you go back and watch those Hail Marys, they weren't like, let's just throw a jump ball.
No, they were well placed.
They were.
I got kicked out of a bar for one of them.
Right.
I won some money.
Against Detroit.
I sprayed the beer everywhere. Hey, sir, you got to get out of here. It's a good day.
But the point is, you know, I look at Mahomes and the throws that he makes, forget about the ridiculous movement because those two guys, they couple movement with amazing arm talent. And to me, if you're ranking quarterbacks, it all begins and ends with the arm. Now, legs and that sort of thing, intelligence, all that's a big piece of the puzzle. But we can't discuss quarterbacks without focusing first and foremost on arm talent. And when it comes to arm talent, I go Marino off the bat because of his quick release. I look at Favre because he can make every throw and he's accurate as all get out. I go,
I go
Favre because he could throw it through a brick wall. Where am I wrong, Charlie? And Mahomes can make the zip throw.
No look throws.
I was about to say, he can make a no look throw.
Which is just insane.
It's amazing. So I want to get back into this talk. And, you know, enjoyment's different. Because I could say that I've enjoyed parts of the past in the NBA and in college back then more than I do right now when I'm watching the Rockets junk it up. He just had that laugh.
You
know, I bring up the Rockets. I hate the Rockets. So we got lots to get to today, including the playback. This is for all you Penn State fans. We'll tell you about it on the other side. We'll get it started on the other side. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right, 1027. Cuz Radio with the Chunas hanging out. So, a couple things. Just to get started. Today's playback. This is for all you Penn Staters out there, all right? Because yesterday we played Temple Penn State, or 2 days ago we did Temple Penn State, and that was our bright and shining moment as Temple people.
Yeah, and they had to complain.
Right? So we're going to give the Penn Staters a little bit of a bone here. And we're going to throw back to the great, this is something that you guys revere in your history, and that is Penn State, Georgia. Penn State, Georgia for the national championship, 1983. I believe that was Herschel Walker, right?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
And how about a quarterback for the Nittany Lions, that Todd Blackledge?
Yes, that's pretty cool.
The future Eagles draft pick was on that team.
Yes.
Talk about it.
Yes. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to throw back to that game with our playback today as we're in the middle of college week. We'll get back to college week. This will be a lot of fun all next couple weeks as we get ready, doing our playback, something different for you. I'm off tomorrow. The next couple days, I'm off tomorrow. I have a funeral tomorrow. I told you last week that I lost a dear friend of mine and friend of I talk about my friends all the time, as you well know, and my friend Vinny's cousin, Vinny. Yeah, we're all Vinny's or Anthony's or Joey's. That's kind of how it works. But his cousin, Vinny Muriello, who we loved as Vinny Bones, passed away. And so we have the funeral tomorrow. So it's going to be kind of a tough day, and we're going to be there. We're going to take off tomorrow, and we have the funeral to tomorrow. So we'll say goodbye to a friend for now. And so we'll get back to the college week. Then we have the 4th of July stuff going on. So we'll get back to college week next week as well with some of the great basketball games. I want to get to that Jay Wright North Carolina game, which was amazing. Incredible, incredible game. So we'll do that stuff. Also today, we got to get into a couple other things, and we'll do the Cuzzo trivia well at 1 o'clock, usually Tuesdays and Thursdays. But we started yesterday. We're going to do it today, and we'll get back to our normal schedule. Tuesdays and Thursdays for the Cuzzo trivia. It was a lot of fun yesterday. Wasn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, and then went to extra innings. Doing the five frames, that went in the extras.
Those guys were great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
They were great. They're both in, well, both, I want to create a pool of the great 4-for-4 trivia heads. And at some point, we'll do a contest, a bit like involving the great ones.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right, involving the great ones. So at 1 o'clock, right around 1 o'clock, we're going to ask you to call the contest line if you want to play the Cuzzo trivia game today, where it's five innings. You each get questions. We'll come up with another theme for you. We'll have the questions ready, and we'll have some fun with that. So I want to get into the generational stuff a lot today as we look at really the game of basketball and football. And we'll talk about baseball and hockey as well. And speaking of hockey, it looks like, according to Bob McKenzie of TSN, it looks like the two hub cities are going to be Edmonton and Toronto. So two Canadian hubs, which is smart. Get it out of the States, where we're in a difficult, difficult time with this coronavirus. So Edmonton and Toronto, and you know what, Andrew? As the hub cities, you know what's going to be awesome about it? It's just like the NBA, noon to midnight. We're going to get hockey, most likely same thing, noon to midnight.
Yeah, with all the time zone difference there, that's going to be great. I mean,
we'll get like 10:30 hockey.
Our heads are going to be spinning, and it's going to be great. I just can't wait.
Actually, this one will be a little different. My guess is they'll play it. There'll be a couple afternoons. You probably started at like 4 o'clock, 3-4 o'clock,
and
you're going to go to 2 in the morning, probably 2 to 2 a.m. Because you'll have the 10:30. You'll have the 10:30 game,
and you're not going to miss a beat, are you? Knowing you, Mr. Night Owl.
I don't know what it is. I love the 10:30 sporting event. The later, the better. I don't know what it is about the 10:30 at night game when the Phillies are on the West Coast. I love it. It's my favorite time of the year. It's sick when the Phillies are on the West Coast trip and we got, you know, L.A., San Diego, and San Francisco. And all the games are at, you know, 10:30 and 10 o'clock. I love it. So we're going to have late night hockey. It's one of the reasons why I love the late night. And I always wanted to move to the West Coast and get involved in the movie business, right? That was always a goal of mine. And so one of the things I was like, from a sports standpoint, I wouldn't like NFL at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I would love it.
You would?
Yes. I like the night games, but I wouldn't mind. Like, I love the London game because it's 9:30 in the morning, and I'm having a cup of coffee. I'm like, all right.
I'd like the London game, too, at 9:30, only because I still had 9:30, 1,
yes.
4:30, and 8:20. See, on the West Coast, you don't have any 8:20 games.
They got the 5:20.
I don't like football being over by 8 o'clock. What do you do at night? Would you trade that? You like the morning? Would you trade the Sunday night game for a 10 a.m.er?
That's an interesting question. I love getting up early and seeing a game. But then again,
you can't make that trade.
I also like having a beer watching pregame at noon. You can't be having a beer at 9 in the morning. Well, you could, but that might be frowned upon. Huh. No, I won't, because I like the 8:20 start.
Yes, prime time. Would you like a Monday night football starting at 5 o'clock?
And get home from work, boom, it's on.
I'm out on that stuff.
After you sit in an hour of L.A. traffic.
Yeah, but I'm out on that.
So you miss an hour of the game.
I'm out on that stuff. That's terrible. I like the night. The night is the best. Well, we'll get into that. I want to get into fans and tailgating for football, because I don't think it's happening. So we'll discuss that. We'll discuss JT Realmuto, the Phillies again. And we still never had an answer to the biggest conundrum as to who is the most annoying person in Philadelphia sports other than Matt Klentak. There's been, it's him, 1 and 1A and 1B. There's nobody else.
I don't think there is anybody else. I said Arrieta, but then I thought, oh, you know what? He was just kind of anti-Gabe, as right. was I.
I should applaud
Jake for that.
Yeah, I'm in with Jake. First of all, I like a Jake. Jake's a great name. Jake. It's a great name, is it not?
You went on Jake from State Farm?
Who's Jake from State Farm?
It's the commercials. I'm wearing khakis.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's right, Jake.
Discount, double check.
Yeah, I hate that lady, the wife. Who are you talking to this day? Jake, that's right, Jake from State Farm. Yeah, I'm in for Jake's good.
All right.
I'm cool with Jake. I love all the Jakes. Jake's a good name. We got to talk about coincidence. We got a Jake on the line.
How about that? My buddy growing up. Now, this is a great name. Jake Stone.
That's a great name, Jake Stone. That sounds like a protagonist in a spy movie. Jake Stone.
He was a protagonist on the basketball court. I wanted to fight him literally every time we played basketball.
That would be antagonist, my man.
Oh, sorry, antagonist.
Protagonist is the hero.
Yeah, can we rewind the tape. He didn't win a lot, so he's the hero.
All right, let's get it started and with some conversation on the phones. Let's go. That's right. Jake from Royersford. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. I'd like to agree with you. Jake is a fantastic name, and I think more people should have that name. That's just my opinion.
It's a great name. You have a great name, Jake.
Thank you. Talk about the generations, like, especially for basketball. I feel like it's hard to compare the two because you could say, like, for instance, Larry Bird, he would succeed in the NBA today, but it's hard to tell because he was trained to play basketball a certain way, you know? And I feel like if he was playing today, you would be adjusting to how people play today. And so it's hard to tell if, like, he would be able to adjust well and play well in this game, but I don't know.
I think he definitely plays. I mean, the interesting thing about Bird is, like, look at players like him, right? So you got a guy like Dirk, who similarly is he's a little taller than Bird, but he was a great shooter. The game is a little bit similar. I would assume he would be a great player, but can he be stopped by a Ben Simmons? And, you know, again, I don't think it's crazy to say that.
Well, I feel like Ben can stop, you know, a lot of players out there.
Right.
Well,
that's my point. That's my point, right.
Yeah, but I still feel like players who, like, the good players from back then would be able to adjust. And, like, given enough time to prepare and train for the NBA today, I feel like they'd be able to find new ways to, you know, score. Whether it would be learning how to shoot the three better or get into the basket quicker. I feel like they'd also have to, you know, like, lift a lot more, get stronger, faster.
And that's where the extrapolation comes in. Like, Bird, you extrapolate as being stronger and quicker. And with his shooting acumen, he would be a deadly three-point shooter,
yeah.
Right? Like, he would kill you with the way the propensity of threes today.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was all I had today.
All right, Jakey, good stuff, my man. My man Jake Dunphy, checking in, Franny's brother. It's a great name, Jake said. It is a great name.
It is a great name.
I got to get to this next guy. We haven't talked to him in a while. And he's going to say something that's going to rock my world. And I'm shocked that a sports fan would have this take. Let's go to our man, Leroy Brown. Leroy Brown.
Cuzzo, what's happening?
What's going on, Leroy Brown?
Long time no talking. How your son's doing, man?
Oh, they're doing great, brother. Thank you, man. They're doing really well.
It's funny you said Jake, right? Because my son's name is Jake, and I call him Jakey Baby all the time.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
So listen,
Hey, by the way, Jake Brown is a strong name.
Yeah, but it's Jaden Brown. I give him Jake, but I call him Jakey when he cutting up, when he's playing the basketball court.
I like
Anyway, I'm the Sixers, right? We got the best team in the league. The only thing that's going to stop us is when Ben Simmons, when he took that three-pointer and everybody cheered, he got embarrassed. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
He got embarrassed. That's why he won't shoot the jump shot. Because he's embarrassed. These young people get embarrassed. They feel they get emotional. He was embarrassed. The man that annoys me the most is Brett Brown. His time is over. He got to go.
Well, you know what? It's funny you bring up the embarrassment. And I think you're right. I could tell, you know, you talk to him, he hates that. He doesn't want you to go, oh, it's here. Because it accentuates what he, you know, hasn't done. And it kind of is the open wound, you know?
Right. And as far as sports goes, like baseball better be careful. Because when you're arguing over money and people don't have money, we'll lose interest in watching you. So they better be careful. They betting on darts. They betting on horseshoes. They betting on everything. Seriously.
I know they are. I saw this thing. People were betting on table tennis.
Yeah, I play table tennis. I was the best at the post office.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt you were a great table tennis player, Leroy Brown.
We play $50 every point.
What?
And 21 points.
You played 50 a point?
50 a point. Guess who won the championship?
Damn.
My grandfather did.
He's old school. He hustled all the young guys.
You have to, because the young people think they're nervous and they don't know jack. And always a pleasure talking to you, brother.
Wait, Leroy Brown, real quick. So it says here on my screen that you don't care if sports really comes back. Is that true?
Listen, I care, but if you argue over money, right, and you're talking about billionaires and millionaires, most of us are dollar heirs. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we don't care about that.
If you come back,
we know you're going to come back, but guess what? Everybody's on hiatus. We sitting home. We waiting around. We cooking. We spending more time with the family. We'll forget about you. You entertain us. That's what you're here for. We don't need you. Y'all need us.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Right.
That's true. That's true. You give Jaden a hug from Uncle Ann, all right?
All right, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Leroy Brown. Appreciate it. Leroy Brown's one of the great callers. We haven't heard from him in a while. Those old school guys that he talked about, his grandfather hustling the table tennis. Beware, like that generation, they will hustle you. Like, that's when the hustle was really in vogue. Pool hustle.
Pool, for sure, yeah.
Right? Like, anything. Like, any kind of activity for money, the hustle came into play. And those dudes perfected the hustle. Beware of the hustle. Beware of the old head with a pool cue, a table tennis to paddle, or even a basketball. All right? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I was at a family party once, and he must be in his mid to late 60s. But it was one of the Lithuanians, and we were playing pool, and he was getting crushed. And then he goes, "All right, now it's time for me to play," and he starts humming. He's just humming a song, and boom, knocks one in, wins the game. And he just winked and walked away. So he was missing shots the entire game on purpose.
That's a great hustle story. See, the one thing about life, right? And while life, the connectivity of the internet has homogenized us a little bit. Would you agree?
Yes, I think so. I think you're right.
And what we have done is we've gotten rid of a lot of the characters. And there were some great characters. Like, back in the day, like, I'm giving it another shot, right? So the movie that I wrote I'm now turning into a television series as a prequel, right? So it's basically Philadelphia in the 70s. So I've been talking to all these dudes like these, and they're classic.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I bet.
The characters are just awesome, right? Like, they're just amazing. And especially in Philadelphia, like, every city had these characters, right? But Philadelphia in the 70s, man, just rich, rich characters. And those dudes, the hustle was a big part of it.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's YouTube stars.
Right.
And none of them are cool.
No. None of them are cool at all.
No, you're right. You can't go, oh, that YouTube star is cool. No, he's not.
No. No YouTube star is cool. There's nothing cool about YouTube. These dudes that I've been uncovering, like, they're the height of cool. Like, that old school cool is cool. All right, so let's get back to the game, because I got a big earful of showing disrespect, and you got it more than I did.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I did.
I got it more in that I didn't wrangle you in, that you were disrespectful to the game and to the 1985 Villanova Wildcats.
As disrespectful to the no shot clock.
And the idea of fundamental ball that we were. So let's discuss this for a second. And let's discuss the notion of the game right now. So do you think, and you said this game is better than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think I meant more 30, because 20 years ago was 2000. And that was like the beginning of what. It was still mid-range a lot, but I would say more so 30, 40. Because, again, the championship game was 85.
So 1990 is the height of Michael Jordan.
It's Jordan. You know, you got Reggie. You got Bad Boy Pistons. That was good basketball. Still.
But you think still archaic. Not to put words in your mouth. You can just tell me if
I'm
wrong.
I mean, I don't want to say archaic, because it was. That was the height of the NBA for a lot of people. But for me, it's all right. Like, I see the athleticism, and I get it. They were athletic back then too. But I don't know. It depends on what you like. Like, do you like that somebody can't go through the lane without getting a fist to the face? Right. Like, I watched the Michael Jordan docuseries, and he was getting beat up whenever he went to the net. Like, I know that. But today, I look at the athleticism and how, man. I mean, Klay Thompson scored 50 points in a game without dribbling. Right. Like, I thought that was insane. Because he just, you know, somebody passed it to him, boom, wide open three, pure.
Yeah, but do you, like, the three itself, I don't know. I mean, the overindulgence in that shot.
Yeah, there are too many fake 3-and-D guys, right? We talk about Covington all the time, right? He's supposed to be a 3-and-D guy.
Exactly. You nailed it. 3-and-Ders, stretch fours, stretch fives. You know, the stretch five. 30 years ago, you know what his name is? Mike Jaminski.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that good ball?
No.
Well, go into, I don't know, who's the center on the Nets? Give me your bigs on the Nets.
Well, you got Jared Allen. Right. He's got the afro.
Right.
DeAndre Jordan.
I'm sorry. Not the Nets. I meant the Bucks, but I was going to bring up the Lopez brothers.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Brooks and Robin, yeah.
All right. I kind of slipped on the Nets because Brooke Lopez used to play for the Nets.
Yes.
Brooke Lopez, that's good ball?
He basically reinvented himself almost. Because remember, he always had a bit of a touch.
Brooke Lopez is Mike Jaminski. He is. They're the same guy. And before Mike Jaminski, there was a guy in Denver by the name of Dan Issel.
Right.
Who you probably don't even remember, right? And Dan Issel was a big who shot jumpers.
Which probably drove people nuts back then.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, when I was a kid, if you were a big man and you shot away from the bat, you shot 20-footers, you were soft. You couldn't go in the middle. So you had to stand outside and shoot jumpers. But now, that's revered. Like, would you rather have Brooke Lopez Or would you rather have a big that can actually put his butt in the in down low and post up?
I'd rather have Joel Embiid, who can do both.
Okay, well, like, he's an anomaly, right?
Yes.
Usually you either have one or the other. I mean, you don't have a lot of guys today that can do both, that can actually post up and bang.
Right. I mean, long range. I would prefer my big man to be able to grab rebounds and beat people up down low, because who else is doing it?
I'm not saying thuggery.
Right.
I'm saying guy that could not only board, but knows how to post up and get an easy basket and draw a foul.
First two opposite names that come to mind, I'd rather have Joakim Noah than Mehmet Okur. Right? Because Okur used to step out and shoot, and Noah's a guy that's strictly really down low.
But when people rip the game today, when the old heads rip the game today, they're ripping the game because it's Brook Lopez and the little Lopezers. He had that. He was on constant. You remember the game? It was a playoff game last year. He had 22 in the first quarter. You know, Bertans. Now, again, when he gets hot, he's forget about it.
Yes.
He's on fire. But is that fun to watch?
It's fun to watch Porzingis do it.
Well, Porzingis is a talented player who could do a multitude of things on the floor.
He's not banging down low that much. He's more of a...
Yeah, but he can also drive.
Which is pretty cool to see, 7-footer doing that.
Well, I mean, it's like Dirk. Dirk did that.
Yeah.
But my point is that, you know, Brook Lopez, that's your poster child of today. Is that good? All right, I got some open lines. I want you to get in the conversation because I think it's a fun one. The kind of bad heads, old head, young head. I don't even know where to go. My head's in a pretzel. I need help. I need you guys to chime in on both sides. And do me a favor. If you're 30 and under, you're on the 30, and you see these old games, because we're inundated with old games, what are you looking at? Like, what are you seeing? I'd love to be in your mind. Like, are you seeing stuff that sounds like give me the Rory 20 music, that sort of thing, right? Are you seeing that? 610-632-0975, Cuz Radio Tune. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
You love doing that. You're not a
How's
big,
everyone doing?
You know what's funny, though? You're not a big dropsman.
No.
You're not a drops guy. The bro, he used to... Now, there's nothing worse than when you're doing yourself and you hear your own multitude of drops, as you know. I accrued many of them when I was in the morning, and they would throw them at me constantly.
Yes.
Maybe think of it with this skip. We say skip.
When we Good morning, Skip.
When we had Charlie on. So bad. Sometimes you hear things, you go, geez, just shut up.
Good morning, Herbie.
I often tell myself to shut up.
Oh, Baldy.
All right. Thanks a lot. I didn't mean for you to do it.
I thought that was more as a
compliment. Like, oh, good.
Yeah, I don't like to overdrop.
I don't have to.
They have to be very well placed.
I agree with that.
There's an art.
Judicious. With your drops.
There's an art in the drop.
I agree. I think that is a good thing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.